Okay, picture this. It's Tuesday morning. You've got your coffee, you sit down, and you open your calendar.
And it's just a wall of color-coded blocks.
Exactly. It is absolutely packed. Slack is already buzzing, probably three different threads asking for updates on things you thought were done yesterday.
Oh, I know that feeling.
And then you open your content ideas, Google Doc, and it's just this endless scroll of bullet points, half-baked titles, links you saved 3 months ago. You're technically swamped,
We
right?
feel incredibly busy.
But when you look at what you've actually published, what you've shipped in the last couple of weeks, it feels, I don't know, incredibly slow, like you're wading through
That
molasses.
is the classic paradox of modern content work. You're
I hear.
busy, but you're not shipping. And the problem usually isn't that you aren't working hard enough,
Right.
it's that you've built your tool stack one urgent need at a time.
Yeah.
You needed an SEO tool, you bought one. You needed a scheduler, you bought another.
And now you have 18 different subscriptions.
Exactly. And none of them talk to each other. So instead of a workflow, you just have a messy web of tabs.
It's tool chaos. And today we're going to try and dismantle that mess. We're going to look at rebuilding a stack that actually flows based on how teams really work in 2026. Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change.
This podcast is created by people who care deeply about their craft, working intentionally with AI. Not to replace human judgment, but to extend it. That mindset is exactly why we built ContentShip, to give a single expert the leverage that once required an entire team.
I really like that framing. Leverage, not replacement. It feels much more sustainable.
Precisely. And if you stick with us through this deep dive, we're going to reveal the specific 4-to-6 tool rule that high-output teams seem to follow. But maybe more importantly, we're going to explain one crucial distinction, signal versus production, that can save you hours every single week.
Okay, let's unpack this because I think a lot of us feel that pain of too many tools, not enough time. We're looking at some insights today from Marian Ignev, the CEO of ContentShip. And the core philosophy here is pretty counterintuitive. He argues that high-output teams don't use more tools to get more done.
No, they use fewer.
They use fewer tools.
Right. The magic number seems to be somewhere around 4 to 6.
Honestly, that sounds terrifyingly low for a lot of people. I'm looking at my own bookmark bar right now, and I've probably got 15 things just for inspiration. How do you even choose just four or five without missing out on critical
Well,
features?
this is where that distinction I mentioned comes in, the golden rule of a lean stack. You have to separate your signal tools from your production tools.
Okay, break that down for me. What defines a signal tool in this context?
Think of it this way. Signal tools tell you what is worth doing. They handle the research, the trends, the data. They answer the question, what should we write about? They're your radar.
Got it. And production.
Production tools are strictly about helping you ship the work. They are the vehicle. The problem is, most marketing stacks just mix these all up.
So your research tool is cluttered with half-written drafts.
Exactly. Or your production tool is full of noise and notifications. You get a lot of activity, you feel busy, but you get very little real progress because you're constantly switching between thinking and doing.
That makes so much sense. It's like trying to cook a complicated meal while you're still running back and forth to the grocery store for ingredients.
That is the perfect analogy. You can't chop onions and shop for onions at the same time.
Right.
And the source material points out that the constraints, and therefore the tools you need, change drastically depending on your team size.
So it's not one size fits all.
Not at all.
Okay, so let's walk through those stages. If I'm flying solo, just me running a blog or a newsletter.
If you're solo, your constraint is strictly time. You don't have a collaboration problem. You have a there are only 24 hours in a day problem.
Right.
So you need fewer tools and faster inputs. One keyword tool, one drafting assistant, one design tool. That's it. Anything else is just a distraction.
Okay, but what happens when you add a few people, say a small marketing team of three or four?
Then the constraint shifts entirely. Now your bottleneck isn't time anymore, it's coordination. You need visibility. You need repeatable briefs so the writer actually understands what the strategist was thinking. You're not just publishing anymore, you're building a system to keep quality stable across multiple sets of hands.
And if you don't solve for that, you get version control hell.
You do, and then at scale, the enterprise level, it's operational drag.
Yep.
That's the killer. Approvals, legal reviews, handoffs.
So the tools need to provide governance.
Exactly. structured workflows to replace all those copy-paste handoffs that happen in Slack and email.
I love that framing. It's not what's the best tool, it's what is my actual constraint right now. So let's get into the weeds. Let's talk about the signal, research and ideation, because the source material makes a really interesting point. Most teams don't actually have an idea shortage.
No, not at all. They have an idea filtering problem.
Right. I can come up with 100 ideas in an hour. The problem is knowing which of those aren't a complete waste of time. So what are the specific recommendations for fixing that filter?
So looking at the 2026 landscape, there are a few heavy hitters. First, for the foundational stuff, you're looking at SEMrush Topic Finder. This is your go-to for building topic clusters that are grounded in actual search demand. It stops the guesswork.
Okay, but playing devil's advocate here, everyone has access to keyword data. How do you stop the team from just picking keywords that sound good? That happens constantly. Oh, let's write about synergy.
That's the most common trap, and that's where a two-step process comes in. You use SEMrush keyword magic to expand, get all the ideas out on the table, and then you use keyword overview to validate.
So you have to check the intent.
You have to check the intent. You have to check the difficulty. It prevents that intuition-based planning where you realize 3 weeks later that the SRP is totally mismatched to what you just wrote. You're looking for the why behind the search, not just the volume.
Validate before you write. That makes sense. Now, what about when you need to get really specific? I'm thinking about like sales enablement content or articles for customer success. Sometimes those general keywords are just too broad.
They are, and they don't capture how real people actually talk. For that, the recommendation is QuestionDB. This is crucial for what we'd call question-led discovery. It scrapes the actual wording people use in communities like Reddit and Quora.
Why does that distinction matter so much?
Because if you're writing an article to help your sales team, you need to use the customer's language, not your internal marketing jargon. If your customers are asking how to fix a broken widget, and you're writing about widget optimization strategies,
you're just missing them completely.
You're missing them. QuestionDB helps you bridge that gap.
Okay. Now, another challenge. Search data is inherently backward-looking, right? It tells you what people have already been searching for. What if I want to be first? What if I want to set the trend instead of just following it?
That is the high-risk, high-reward play. And for that, you look at a tool like Exploding Topics. This tool identifies trends before they become obvious pillar page opportunities.
So you're catching the wave before it breaks.
Exactly. If you publish early, you become the source. You get the backlinks, you get the references. But, and it's the big but, it is riskier. The trend might just fizzle out.
And you just read a 3,000-word guide on something nobody cares about next month.
Right. High risk, high reward.
There's one more tool mentioned here that I think everyone is talking about right now. Perplexity. How does that fit into the signal stack?
Perplexity fits in as the accelerated researcher. It's fantastic for cutting down that tab explosion when you're trying to understand a new topic or find citations.
So instead of opening 20 tabs to find one stat,
you just ask Perplexity. But, and there's a huge warning label on this one.
I was waiting for the catch.
A giant neon sign. It is not a final authority. It's a research assistant. You have to treat it like a very fast, slightly overconfident intern. It gives you the sources. But you, the human, must click the link, verify the stat, and confirm the details.
Do not just copy-paste from Perplexity into your draft.
That is how you get embarrassed.
Oh, so we've got our signal. We have validated ideas. Now we enter what I call the danger zone, the gap between an approved idea and a published article.
The black hole of production.
This is where I feel like most teams lose the most time.
It is. It's where deadlines go to die. The source material calls this the operational gap. And to bridge it, you need a system of record.
What are we using for that? Are we talking about some complex project management software?
It doesn't have to be complex, but it has to be visual. Monday.com is highly recommended here, mainly for its flexibility. But the key value isn't just having a board, it's status visibility. You need to clearly define what draft, review, and ready actually mean.
So the editor isn't running around playing traffic cop, asking, is this done? Is this done in Slack all day?
Exactly. The board does the chasing for you. If it's in the review column, the editor knows it's their turn. If it's in draft, they leave it alone. And if you want to get more technical on the planning side production, the SEMrush SEO brief generator is a great bridge. It compresses all that competitive analysis into a brief. automatically.
Oh, that saves so much manual grunt work. I remember doing that by hand copying headers into a doc just to see the common structure.
It saves the strategist from having to open 20 tabs just to write instructions for the writer. It keeps the signal attached to the production.
Okay, we have to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We're in 2026. AI drafting is everywhere. But the source makes a really interesting point. AI speed isn't a differentiator anymore. If everyone has a Ferrari, driving fast isn't special.
Right. The differentiator in 2026 is quality control.
So how do we use these tools without producing, well, garbage?
You need to have strict guardrails. ChatGPT is still the Swiss Army knife. Great for outlines, great for first passes. But you need rules. For example, a cite or remove rule. If the AI makes a claim, it has to have a source or you cut it. Simple as that.
And for more structured stuff.
Semrush AI article generator.
Yeah.
This is good when you need a draft that's really strictly aligned with your keywords and intent. It keeps the train on the tracks. But, and this is the big but, you cannot just publish the output.
Because it sounds like a robot.
Because it sounds like AI mush. It's smooth, but it's vague. It uses a lot of words to say very little. To prevent that, the workflow has to be outline from intent, draft quickly again. Edit ruthlessly.
Edit ruthlessly. I like that. What tools help with the ruthless editing?
WordTune is excellent for tightening phrasing. It stops you from rewriting a whole paragraph just to fix one clunky sentence. And then an old classic that's still so relevant, Hemingway Editor.
I love Hemingway. It just yells at you when your sentences are too long.
And that's crucial, especially when multiple people touch a draft. Readability drifts, writers get tired, they start using passive voice. Hemingway snaps it back. But you have to remember, and the source is very clear on this, editing tools will not fix a lack of ideas. If your content has no point of view or real examples, Hemingway just makes your bad content easier to read.
That's a savage take, but it's true. A polished turd is still, you know.
Precisely.
Okay, moving down the stack. We've written the thing, it's edited. Now we need to make it look good and actually get it out there. What's the lean stack for visuals and distribution?
For visuals, don't overthink it. Canva. The goal here is to not let design be a blocker. Standardize your templates, your blog header, your social cards. They should be ready to go so the writer can just drop in the text and hit download.
If you're waiting 3 days for a designer to make a header image, your process is broken.
Completely broken. And for distribution, this is where I feel like teams fail quietly. They hit publish on the blog, tweet a link once.
And then go to lunch.
It's the publish and pray method. It doesn't work. The fix is scheduling. Semrush social poster is the recommendation here because it allows for bulk scheduling. You should be doing a month of social posts in one sitting.
One sitting, that feels like a lot.
It's actually less work. Think about the mental friction of trying to be witty on Twitter every single morning at 9 a.m. It's exhausting.
You remove the daily friction.
Exactly. Schedule it all on the first of the month, and it just happens. And for email, MailChimp remains a solid, reliable choice for repurposing.
And repurposing is key.
It is. Email is the best way to bring old posts back to life. A monthly roundup newsletter is a great way to get value out of content you wrote 6 months ago that your new subscribers have never seen.
I want to touch on measurement before we wrap this up. How do we know if any of this machinery is actually working?
You have to close the loop. If you don't measure, you're just shouting into the void. Google Search Console is your first stop.
Okay, why Search Console and not just analytics? I feel like people mix those two up all the time.
They do. Think of Search Console as the pre-click tool. It tells you why you aren't getting traffic. It shows you your click-through rate. You can see, hey, we ranked number 4 for this term, but nobody is clicking.
That's a signal to change your title tag.
It's immediately actionable.
Yeah.
Then Google Analytics 4 is for what happens after the click. Are they converting? Are they actually reading? If you only look at traffic, you'll end up producing clickbait that doesn't drive revenue. You have to see the conversion.
And there was one more measurement tool mentioned, something about AI visibility.
Yes, the Semrush AI Visibility Toolkit. This is very 2026. It tracks your presence in AI-powered search experiences. So when someone asks an AI a question, are you the answer?
Or is your competitor.
Or is your competitor. You need to track that now. It's a whole new battlefield.
It really is. So we've built this beautiful stack, signal, production, distro, measurement.
Yeah.
But sometimes it still breaks. The source material talks about when the stack breaks. What does that look like?
It almost always looks like a coordination failure. It's rarely the tool's fault. It's that you have duplication of research. You have decisions being made in a Slack thread that gets buried so nobody remembers why you chose that title.
So why did we do this?
Exactly. And this is where the solution Marion Igniv proposes comes in: content ship.
Right, the orchestration layer.
Think of it as an operating system for your content. When you have the basics in place, you need something that governs the whole flow. Content ship handles things like feed monitoring and scoring to reduce that noise we talked about at the beginning.
So it filters the signal for you.
It filters the signal, and then its story crafting process turns those ideas into SEO-ready drafts with the metadata already attached. It connects the dots so your team isn't manually copy-pasting between four different tools. It's what allows a small team to scale its output without sacrificing quality, because the governance is built in.
I like that phrase, governance built in. It sounds like it stops the chaos before it even starts. You know, if you're listening to this and realizing, wow, my stack's a bit chaotic right now, or I definitely have 18 tabs open and I don't know why, you might want to share this deep dive with your operations manager. Or just hit subscribe, because we're going to keep breaking this down.
Absolutely.
So let's bring it home. We've covered a lot of ground. If I'm a listener and I want to fix my stack tomorrow, what is the practical checklist?
Okay, let's simplify it to 4 points. Number one, start with one signal source and one validation step. Don't chase every shiny object. Trust the data. Verify the intent.
Got it.
Number two, pick one system of record for status. Don't split your briefs and your review notes. Keep them together. If it's not on the board, it's not happening.
One source of truth.
Number three, make distribution scheduled by default. Batch it. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't exist. And number four, use measurement for a monthly refresh cycle. Don't just write new stuff. Update the old stuff that is almost working.
That last one is huge. Update what's already there.
It's the lowest hanging fruit in content marketing. It's so much easier to move a post from page two to page one than to write a new one from scratch.
I love it. The core message here really seems to be that tools should reduce work, not create it. If you're spending more time managing your tools than actually writing, you've lost the plot.
That's it. And if I can leave you with one final thought, it's that concept of signal versus production. If you can master that distinction, if you can ruthlessly separate the what to do from the doing, you stop just being busy. You stop spinning your wheels, and you start actually shipping work that matters.
And that is the goal. If you want to see how an orchestration layer works in practice, visit contentship.io to learn more. Thanks for listening, and go build something great.